Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. The NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Hello and welcome to another Training Camp Review Podcast. PFW boys, Andy and Paula with you. Practices number 21 and 22 in the books, Andy. 21, a walkthrough this morning. Not a whole lot to report there. Number 22 this afternoon. And by the way, in absolutely steamy Foxborough. Tough conditions today. Helmets, shells, not full pads today. So two practices today that were not in full pads. That means 15 of the 22 now were in full pads. So that's where we stand. Some things to talk about this afternoon. First of all, attendance-wise, I'll get this stuff out of the way, and I'm going to turn it over to Andy because you were paying far closer attention to what was going on this afternoon. A couple of people of note not available for the afternoon practice. Let's see. We had Sean Springs, Paris Lennon, Teddy Bruschi, George Bussey, Benjamin Watson, Mike Wright, and also two guys that I thought were interesting, one being Nathan Hodel, one of the two long snappers, not out there. And as Andy pointed out in the tent, long snappers aren't generally candidates for days off. So I'm wondering if maybe there's a transaction to follow at some point. Or if maybe he just tweaked a hamstring or something like that and they just wanted to kind of get him off his legs. I don't know. And the other one was Wes Welker, and I bring him up only because he also did not practice yesterday afternoon. And, you know, if it was one here or there, I wouldn't be concerned. But two practices in a row, I'm wondering if maybe they're doing a little monitoring with Wes as well. But what we did see this afternoon was a practice full of passing, a lot of 7-on-7 work, even in the team period, a lot of passing drills, a lot of scout work, heading to Philadelphia on Thursday. Andy, just general observations.
Well, you're right. It was heavy on passing. General observation one would be Jamar Love has seen enough Randy Moss for an entire training camp.
Sure.
Just absolutely got beat up today as the scout corner assigned to covering Moss. It seemed like on every snap, gave up a long touchdown. Bill called for the ball to be placed on the goal line, gave up another quick touchdown. Couldn't have been more than 20 seconds later. Probably gave up somewhere in the range of 10 completions to Moss on the day. I felt bad for Jamar Love because I think he's shown a little talent, and I think getting beat down like that isn't necessarily exemplify what he might possess as a rookie free agent defensive back. Interesting, I thought, defensively, more four-man fronts being used. Some different variations, some of the heavy four-man fronts early, which included, not surprisingly, the three first-round picks in Warren, Wilfork, and Seymour. But I thought interesting, grouped in there, over the ball, on the nose, in that group was Myron Pryor, sixth-round draft pick.
Very interesting.
I have not seen get a ton of top-level reps, so to speak, so far. It's generally been Ron Brace in those reps. So I thought that was an interesting development. Another guy that's showing the versatility for them, and I think he's a guy that, you know, can play four-man fronts over the nose or over the guard in that three technique, has some, you know, explosive athleticism based on the scouting reports coming out of college. So he's an interesting guy maybe to keep an eye on that I haven't heard a lot of talk about to this point in training camp. Still, the one thing I really take note of is just defensively, just throwing a lot of groupings, different lineups out there, four-man fronts, and then, you know, they go to goal line work, and then there are just a lot of players contributing, and, you know, I likened it to kind of the Red Sox right now, what the Red Sox are doing with, since Victor Martinez, they kind of have all these bodies, and they're mixing and matching, whether it's first base, catcher, third base, DH. It looks like the Patriots are in a similar scenario, where maybe they don't have a starting 11 that they're going to line up and just play football with. It looks like more often than not, you might say their defense runs 13, 14, 15 players deep who could be considered starters on this team, both in the secondary and up front. So I think that's the most interesting development I've noticed over the last week or so.
Yeah, and that's certainly going to be something to really watch for on Thursday night for the opener in Philadelphia against the Eagles. Let's see what kind of personnel groups they use, who's out there with who, how long they're out there, and all that stuff. And in general, we like to review the entire day, and obviously we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that Tom Brady spoke after this morning's walkthrough. And not surprisingly, the major topic of that conversation was his potential playing time Thursday night. He certainly is lobbying for playing as much as he possibly can. He sort of intimated that Belichick has kind of let the team know, and I think the way Tom said it was he's not really treating, but based on the tone and the message that he's sending to the team, he's not really treating this like a first preseason game. He wants the players to be prepared to play 60 minutes of football Thursday night. Now, we know that's not going to happen, but I would be very surprised if Brady and the rest of the starters weren't out there, at least for a couple of series against the Eagles. I think, you know, with Brady not playing at all last year in the preseason, I don't really think that has a lot to do with this. But the fact that Belichick wants a better start to the summer than he got last year when they went 0-4 and really didn't look good, I think he's looking to change that. Andy, I know that you kind of feel the same way in terms of the potential playing time Thursday night.
Yeah, and I think Brady said something about, you know, we're not expecting guest appearances, and I think that maybe is how it's been treated in the past, and just the mentality of that, I think, is what Belichick's trying to get away from, and I said this earlier on PFW in Progress, I think just getting the players to buy into, yeah, we could play for a while. This may not be a true first preseason game. I think that's half the battle leading up to the game and into the game there, is just to get them to treat it as an important piece of playing time that's key to building towards Monday Night Football and the Bills. So I think either way, regardless of how much they play, whether it's two series or two quarters, I think he's kind of somewhat won the battle with the players because I think they're buying into this is a tough camp, it's a tough preseason, and we got to get off to a quicker start this year.
And Brady, by the way, continues to maintain that his stance. He feels fine. He doesn't need any time off, doesn't want any time off. And he looks great. I you know, I don't know if I would go the Fred Kirsch route and say it's the best I've ever seen him look. I think when he was throwing 50 touchdown passes a couple of years ago, he looked pretty good. But I see no ill effects of the surgery and the rehab and all that. So that'll be something really to be excited about. A rare, item to really focus on and be excited about, truly excited about, for the preseason opener. We haven't seen Tom Brady play in a game in a long time.
Yes, and building off the offense and who's going to play and do what. I thought interesting today you brought up Welker, and he wasn't out there. Julian Edelman, obviously everyone knows, is kind of the talk of camp and where he might fit in on this roster. Is he going to make it as a wide receiver? Could he be a contributor in the offense? I thought it was interesting to see him in some of the positional groupings out there today, but more importantly than that, to see him called aside by Tom Brady and Randy Moss during when they were coming off of the field during one team segment, and behind the group, both Brady and Moss were showing Edelman what they wanted or what the proper way to run some routes were, really fine-tuning his route running. Yeah. Obviously, that's going to be a weakness for him as a quarterback. He's, you know, always been on the opposite end of that whole spectrum. But I just think the attention he's getting, the reps he's getting, when they went punt return, the bulk of the reps on punt return were Falk and Edelman rotating 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. It wasn't quite as deep a group as we've seen in the past. Continues to get reps at kick returner. I think you're going to see a lot of Julian Edelman Thursday night in a lot of roles, both special teams and on offense.
And for the first time, you know, you mentioned punt returns. The first time I've seen this summer so far, Pat Chung was back.
Yep,
taking
one rep.
At least one.
I think he just got one.
But I hadn't really seen him in that role. And I know that Scott O'Brien spoke last week and said that he would be part of the mix of returners, you know, involved in that. So a lot, I think, and Fred brought this up out in the tent. Who do you think catches the first? Gets the first opportunity to return, and I think
Julian Edelman,
your guy, yeah, Edelman, I think is the perfect candidate.
The first kick and punt.
Yeah, he's been getting tons of activity in that department,
and I think they'll give him an opportunity to play himself out of a role. Give him the chance, throw him into the fire, see what happens. I mean, he comes A from quarterback, but B from a smaller school. You know, talking about a guy who was playing in front of 80,000-90,000 people at a Tennessee or a Michigan. So he's going to have quite a transition. They're asking him to make a big jump. They're throwing a lot on his plate. So far, I think he's handled it pretty well in camp, but now obviously there's a step up to game action. A couple other guys I wanted to mention, and I forgot John Bon Jovi was on the field, but mention that.
Yeah, and Bon Jovi music was prevalent throughout the pre-practice period.
John spent a lot of time chatting with Robert Kraft, who was on the field for the practice.
Doc, I assume that's what you were putting together during the show today, some Bon Jovi music for the football ops people?
Okay. I don't know if he's part.
Yes.
And with Hodel either injured or not on the field, Jake Ingram obviously took the bulk of the early reps, but then Russ Hochstein came in and took some snaps during field goal work. He's always been the backup long snapper to Lonnie Paxton in the past, and looks like he'll maintain that role. I actually saw my guy, Rob Ninkovich, taking some snaps and some group work. He didn't get it in the teamwork, But he's a guy that has some long snapping ability and could be an option there as things unfold and backup roles need to be filled out. And then practice closed, Paul, with the highlight of camp, one of our favorites year to year.
Never gets old.
A big body trying to catch a punt. Over the years, it's been Matt Light and Vince Wilfork who have successfully done it. And in the past, they've always gotten the night off from meetings and video or whatever. Today's choice, Fred Kirsch favorite, Sebastian Seabass Vollmer. Big, tall guy back deep. Dante Scarnecchia helped set him up. Even Steven Gostowski was telling him how deep he needed to be from Chris Hansen. And he hauled it in effortlessly. He kind of made it look pretty easy for a guy who's 6'8 and 320 pounds.
Little bobble. But
A lot less bobble than Julian Edelman did at the first day, and he's an athlete who's 5'11".
That's for sure. And, you know, and watching him go after it, it wasn't exactly, you know, he didn't have a 20-yard run or anything.
No.
But it wasn't right at him either.
It was not a piece of cake.
He glided over there like he's done it before.
And the celebration erupted. Dante was right behind him, threw his arms in the air, and then he got a congratulatory handshake from the big
guy. Bill Belichick. David Thomas, I think, was the first player to greet
him. Ran up and jumped in his arms.
Running jump, you know, one of those chest bump deals, you know, that you young kids do nowadays.
I don't think I qualify as a young kid anymore.
Well, I don't either, but I know you like to fancy yourself as that.
Other than that, I thought it was a pretty spirited practice late. I thought it got off to a little bit of a lethargic start, but I think that's kind of the nature when you don't go full pads, when you're kind of winding down the preparations. And all the situational stuff, I know Bill, I won't quote him, but I'll paraphrase, was talking about how offensively the Eagles have done what they've done for a decade now, and you're going to see it Thursday night
he
as the defense
prep. Spoke about that
prep.
In the press conference today,
no
too.
Question.
You know, they've been as successful as anybody over the last 10 years, and this is what they do. They have a program, and they're well-coached with Andy Reid, blah, 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 blah. And we heard that on the field as well today. Not in those words, but we heard, you know, that message on the field. So this is going to be our last training camp review podcast now for a while. We obviously will be heading to Philly tomorrow with the team. We have the game Thursday night. We will not have PFW in progress on Thursday, but we will return. We do not have the definitive schedule for training camp practices yet. I don't think those have been officially announced going forward, but we are now winding down to the final days. There will only be, I would say, two or three more days tops that are open to the media and the public and whatnot. So, unfortunately, our training camp review podcast will be coming to an end soon. We just don't know exactly when. But
just not this one.
For Tuesday, August 11th, that will put an end to it.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.